This week, Shelbourne Football Club learned of the passing of long-time supporter and volunteer Peter O'Connor. Peter was a familiar face around Talca Park and all over the country, where he followed the Reds through bad times and good with unwavering loyalty. The thoughts and prayers of everyone at Shelbourne Football Club are with Peter's family and friends at this extremely sad time.
This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelbourne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Talca Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelbourne Football Club. 6 points from six, two goals scored, none conceded. Will we ever concede? Can Paddy Barrett possibly head any more footballs? Is Gavin Molloy the best defender in the country? And are we sure that this John O'Sullivan actually played for Bowes last season? Is Duffer the greatest manager on planet Earth? I don't know, but I do know the Reds are very, very good at football. And here to talk about how good the Reds are at football, Adam Leonard, how are we?
Steve, all good. There's a lot in that statement you just made there that we're going to be, I suppose, dissecting. But yeah, happy to be back.
Ben Cleary, how are you?
Hello, Doody, how are you?
I am fantastic on this grim Tuesday evening. There, as we are recording this, it's 13 minutes past 8 on Tuesday evening. There has been mayhem surrounding tickets for Bowes away. We will get to that. We will discuss it, discuss what we can do, what we can't do. But there's so much to get through. There is so much to get through. Sligo away feels... Oh, really feels like about a month ago at this stage, considering last night. But we will start with Sligo. Ben, we made the long journey down. No snow in Sligo, I can tell you. that there was definitely no issue with pitches or anything like that out west. But what a result. Performance maybe not up to scratch, but the result certainly was.
Yeah, I think, look, you'll have to look at the performance as a whole, and you can say, was it up to the standards that the team and the manager have set themselves? Maybe not, and it's something they've reflected on in their post-match. But that, I think, that kind of performance shows the growth in this squad. Because if you look, at that same kind of fixture 7 or 8 months ago, even a year ago, that could easily be a match that's drawn, points are dropped, and heads are dropped. But look, I think there was a time where you'd be very nervous heading in with a one-goal lead in the last 5 minutes. But look, I think the lads acquitted themselves well. I think it was a very, very solid defensive performance. And I think people focus on that a lot. There was a lot of attacking in it as well. There was a few chances. Liam Burt robbed one off the McGinty's toe and nearly poked it in. Like, it's not like we scored one and then just never did anything after that. But yeah, look. Solid 3 points and a great road trip.
Ads, are we a miserable negative football team that are going to 1-0 their way to a league title?
Absolutely not, Steve. I think the fluidity in which we're playing at the minute is as good as we've seen under Duff. Like last night, even the formation, like the three lads in midfield and then three up top, you know, it's probably not something we've seen a whole lot under Duffer, but it's definitely something that I think can, I suppose, as you become one of the more top teams in the league, you kind of do progress as a team. And I think Duff has always tried to play that football. And look, there's moments in game where you retract and you'll sit back. But that we can play like that as well. That suits us at times as well. So, we're definitely not what you said we are anyways. But, look at the progression this side's going through at the moment. It's unbelievable. And I think the performance on Friday and then subsequently last night is indicative of that.
In my opinion, it's lazy to label a Duffer team as like a negative defensive team. I think in the first season we were the fancy word would be pragmatic. We were kind of right, we might not win, but let's just make sure we don't lose, which I think is fine. At the end of the day, it was our first season back in the Premier Division. The remit was stay in the division by, like, you know, by hook or by crook, you make sure you stay in that division. That's what we did. Last season, there was definitely more glimpses of that kind of free-flowing attack and stuff. And, like, this season, it just seems to me that we've such a strong base. Like, that could be back three, back four, back five, whatever you want to call it. Could be any of those things. It's been all those things in the opening couple of games. We seem to go from, you know, being able to just drop off, which we did last night in the Galway game, and just don't let teams score. But when you have players like Will Jarvis, Liam Burt, starting with John Martin, had Dean Williams then going the other way, Shane Farrell obviously could go the other way, Boydie's to come back in, Matty Smith has been brilliant all season. It's like, not to be getting ahead of ourselves, it would be very unlike us to get ahead of ourselves here, but like, how good, Ben, is the team, is the depth, is the, like, we seem at the moment to be the perfect mix of a horrible team to play against, but a team that could equally cut you open going the other way.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of it comes to do with the pace of the transition, and especially in that attack, as you said, those options are there to interchange, and it just gives you a lot of, I suppose, dynamic options, and you can maybe get a little bit of different abilities out of some players. But it's just like, we can be sitting back defending 1 minute and it's one over the top through ball and it's Will Jarvis running onto it, or Liam Burt or someone, and you've created a chance out of nothing. And I think that's one thing that was touched on last night. I think it was on the commentary. They said, against the run of play, here, look, it was, but that's what this team can do to you. They can just get on the ball and create something. Will Jarvis running at a defender, I'd say, probably is one of the scariest sights for a defender in the League of Ireland, because he's just so direct, and it's a style you don't really see too often anymore, where you just head down, run straight at you, cut inside. You know what he's going to do. You just can't stop it. And I think that showed against Rovers and again last night. Like, we're also, on the other end of things, I think we're very compact defensively. I don't think we obviously don't concede a lot. We didn't last season. It looks to be a similar vein this season. We're very, very good defensively when that duty needs to be done. And I think that comes down to the leadership at the back and the communication. It's just incredible. I think we've a lot of maturity in the squad now, even though there's some young players. They've kind of grown up and grown into their roles. And yeah, I think, look, the only way is up, really.
Ads, going back to the Sligo game, I mentioned in the intro there, John O'Sullivan, obviously his name ends up in the score sheet, how much he knew about the goal in the end, I don't know. But has he, I know we kind of mentioned this, I think it was the week before last, has John O'Sullivan surprised you?
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it, Steve? I think if you're to believe everything you hear from, you know, the club up the road, you probably would be surprised at it. But, like, I think we said it ourselves, didn't we? You have to kind of trust the person who's brought him in, and the person who's brought him in hasn't done shells wrong since coming in. So, like, if Duffer thinks he's good enough, or I suppose if Duffer thinks he can get something out of him, then you have to kind of wait and see and let it play out. And he's been nothing short but fantastic so far. He's been really good. I'm happy for him that he got the goal. Like you said, I don't know how much he knew about it, but goal's a goal nonetheless. And look, it wouldn't be great if he got a goal on Friday. That there'd be a lot of irony in it. But I probably would say surprised. Get back to your question. Probably would say slightly surprised. That again, that's after basing your opinion on, you know, stuff you've heard from up the road and stuff. But I'm buzzing for him. I think he's done very well so far, and he's just acquitted himself brilliantly. And he seems like he's really up for it, and like that he's really committed to the club. And I think that's all the signs of a player that you want, isn't it?
Shock, stick a player in a dressing room with a good manager and a good group of players, and look what can come from it. Who would have thought? Shelburne Football Club launching rockets since 1895. We don't look like conceding. Again, I know in the intro it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but we just really don't. Most likely we look to concede in Sligo was the disallowed goal. An awful lot of Sligo folk got their underwear in a twist about the disallowed goal. The cross obviously came in. I think it was Wilson Waweru jumped with Conor Cairns, ends up in the back of the net. What were your thoughts on the disallowed one?
I don't know if you're aware of this, Steve, but do you remember when Edge speared Jeff Hardy off the ladder? That's what it reminded me of, to be honest with you. One of the lads sent into chat saying, do you think that was a foul? Do you think you might have gotten away with that? I was like, not at all. Like, he got taken out. Now, look, the goalkeeping position, isn't it? This day and age is probably one of the most protected ones. And I think the nature of it, I do think it's a foul. I don't think we got lucky. And generally speaking, I think that's been one of the best things about Duff Ball so far, is that we don't look like conceding. You know, we don't. And last night, you know, we probably say it was against the run of play that we got the goal and stuff. But did Galway really lay a glove on us? I don't really know. And I don't want to sound arrogant when I say that either, because I do think it's down to the hard work done on training, pitching and such.
It is, yeah. And just the last bit, I suppose, for the Sligo game, it was offside. That's what it was given for. Now, it wasn't offside. He was nowhere near offside, but that's what the flag went up for originally. So they can contest about the foul on Cairns and you know, Cairns soft, went down like a bag of spuds. It wasn't about that. He was offside anyway. Some of the Sligo uproar was just mental. I mean, like, I would go back to, he had so much of the ball and didn't factor any kind of decent chances in. So, nah, don't mind Sligo. Brush them aside. They rolled over. Don't worry about them. Then, last night, the way the game started, it was a bit, I didn't want to say it at the time. We were standing beside each other, but I could see it happening in my head. They came out like a ton of bricks. They were full of energy. They were giddy. The crowd was giddy. The whole lot. They had a load of corners. They were celebrating every corner on free kick like it was a goal. And then, bang, one bit of quality down the other end, and that's game over. Like, when we went 1-0 up, there was no doubt in my mind that we were going to win the game. I think I turned around to Darren at one stage laughing after we scored and said, have all the corners you want, have all the ball you want, put us under as much pressure as you want, but bang, that's what can go on down the other end. In a way, probably a perfect start. Soak up a bit of pressure and hit them where it hurts.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't want to say I was never worried from the start, because it's...
wasn't worried.
It's very arrogant, but like, They weren't creating much. Yeah, they were getting corners from clearances and deflections, but like, there wasn't a moment where Conor Cairns had to go down and make an unbelievable save and it's gone out. I'm like, oh no, we're under pressure here. The lads did their job. The defensive unit were extremely solid. We hit them on the break, which were well capable of, a lot of quality in attack. We got our goal. I just thought that was really it then. Like, it was... It's not like you can't take Anne away from the finish as well. Like, people are like, oh, he's a striker, he should be scoring that. That's an unbelievable finish from John Martin.
Like, yeah, I tend to agree. We were right there, like, we were right at the tunnel, and that was a tight L angle. And with the pitch in the state it's in at the moment, like, that ball could have bounced anywhere. It's funny, when I watched the replay back, you actually see Evan Caffrey kind of, he's convinced that Will Jarvis one is in, because he kind of takes a second little look back around the post. But I was very, very impressed with John Martin, lads. I don't know about you, but I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, I thought he took the goal well, didn't he? I think the position's very good. I think you said to him after, Steve, didn't you, about maybe coming into the game for a bit more physicality. I would tend to agree with that, because he just kind of marshalled the defence well, or their defence well. And yeah, look, he took the goal well, and I don't think you can ask much more. I think we spoke a few times about the squad, didn't we, and about how important they're going to be. And I think him coming in and scoring just shows the importance of having a big squad.
And I mentioned it in his post-match interview, like, he had a tough start to leave the club. I think he said he was 25 minutes or something into his first training session. And
not ideal.
Goes and gets his injury, so... Like, to bounce back from that, like, I'm sure it made it difficult for him to kind of settle in. And, you know, and all the players around the pitch, you're stuck in the gym. That can be a lonely old place, but I was delighted for him. We got to interview him after the game. He was not giving up his chicken wrap for anybody. So he made Reggie stand there like spare prick and mind his wrap for him, which I enjoyed. I hope somebody got a photo because it was very, very funny. But no, I was really impressed with John Martin. I've been impressed with everybody. I mean, Dean Williams came on, ran like a lunatic as well. He's kind of been struggled for a bit of game time so far, but came in, played his part. Just on the Galway situation, they're in quite big numbers, to be fair to them, on a brutal, miserable Monday night. But there was a lot of people in touch. Gaz was the first one. He sent us a message to say, I'd like to know how hundreds of away fans are being allowed into the home section, giving them a roof to create an atmosphere, allowed into both bars before the game and at half time. If they had a score, that section would have been rocking. Then Keane Murray kind of added to it and said himself and his family, friends always sit in section A, they're 15 plus years down there, and then they were told to move to accommodate the Galway fans. A lot of anger over it. I'm interested to see what you lads think. I'll let you go first because I have a fairly firm stance on this one. So who wants to jump in?
Yeah, dude, it's a bit of a weird one. I think one thing you said that stuck in my head last night were a bit too nice. We're kind of like the nice club, as you said a few times. And I think that's just where it kind of stems from. Look, it was lashing rain. It was terrible weather. 200 Galway fans travelling down, standing in that for the 90 plus minutes. It's a grim owl existence. So I think it was just, I don't think it was done intentionally to annoy people. I think it was just done to maybe say, here, look, you have a long journey ahead of you, going home. Come on in and stay out of the rain for a while. I don't think it was a slight on anyone, but I think facilities wise, it was a bit silly allowing them full access to the area. Look, a seat is one thing, but full access, I think for me, is a little bit much. Adam, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'd be along the same point. I think just general niceness, isn't it? Just letting them in or whatever. But like, you look at what we get from other clubs, and I say we, I mean some clubs in the league in general. Like, we're going up to Dalymount on Friday, and you know, there's only 450 tickets. I think Derry are having problems with away fans this season. Dundalk haven't even got an away stand. So, like, I think sometimes you kind of have to, you know, give other clubs what you're getting at times. And look at that. That would probably be my issue with it. But look, it is what it is. Not a whole lot the three of us sitting here can do, is there?
Oh, I just think, when we couldn't use the Ballybock end of the ground, fair enough, you know, throw the away crowd. We weren't really dealing with away crowds at that stage anyway, but people down in Section E, that's fine. And as somebody else pointed out on Twitter to me, like, Galway were fine. You know, it didn't seem to be an issue with anybody, but like, all it takes is one dope to throw out a comment and like, you could have serious hassle on your hands. I definitely don't think they should have been allowed into the bar. It's hard enough to accommodate our own supporters in the bar, never mind letting 200 away supporters into it. I don't think they should have been in Section 8. I know, look, it's probably a bit harsh, but tough luck. Like, it was lashing rain, bring an umbrella. Or stay at home and watch it if it's that much of an issue for you. I don't think you should be displacing a single Shell supporter to accommodating away fans. There's more than enough space for them there. Bring an umbrella if you're that worried about it. Everyone knows what the away end is like at this stage. It's nothing new. Like, everyone knows it's an uncovered terrace. Like, prepare. Like, the same. Many times we've been turfed out in places and caged in like animals, I believe was the song, in worn away ground. Like, no, too nice. Nice FC. Always trying to, you know, oh no, you know, we don't want the hassle. We don't want the heat for that. No, I've not into it. Away supporters should be in that away end. Tough luck. If you don't like it, don't come. That a bit harsh?
No, I think that's 100% it, though. Like, that is that's the facts of the matter. Like, it's just, there's nothing else you can do about it. That is it. But I think it just stems from we're too nice. We're like, ah, no, come on in, come on out of the rain. You went into the stand. There you go. Enjoy your lovely seat and your cover and your shelter. Sure, we're thrown anywhere. And we just accept it because, again, I just think we're a bit too nice. And maybe it's time to get away from that. Look, you give what you get. So, yeah.
But everyone despises the club. So why are we trying to accommodate people for when everyone thinks we're the biggest load of bastards on planet Earth? I don't understand why we'd be like, you know, it's not as if we have a great reputation to be protecting. Like, nobody likes the club anyway. So just on the flip side of that argument, Shane Kennedy weighed in and he reckons it should be the norm for away fans. Don't think we should be lowering our standards. Pats give us an allocation in the stand. What I'd hope the club do is charge extra for the stand, like Drogs, Dundalk, Pats, etc. That's fine if it's always like that. So if you always keep, you know, a little section of 30-40 seats, section A, then people can kind of be used to it. But on the day of the game, just, you know, ah, yeah, lads, go on up there, no problem. I'm not really into that myself. But look, these are all, as you say, it's three Egypt sitting here on a Tuesday evening, nothing we can really do about it. But just think, it's important to give a voice to people. So that's the general kind of consensus about it. Seem to be people not happy. What I was very, very happy with was their performance, Adam. More of the same from Sligo. A better performance, I would have said, than Sligo. Galway probably surprised me. They were up to a bit more than what I thought they were going to be. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, one of the lads described them like feral dogs. They just kept running, didn't they? And didn't really give us a minute at times. And like towards the end, I know we were down to 10, and it looked like they might pick something off, but did they really? I don't know. I thought we quit ourselves really well again. And it's a team with Duffer's side at the minute. And, you know, I wouldn't even say we grind that result out. I think we were fully deserving of the win, same on Friday. And, yeah, performance-wise, I think it was a bit better. And I think, you know, I don't want to be outing anyone here, but I think the fluidity in which we play, I've said it already, is there to be seen. And I think if the pitch was maybe up to a bit of a better scratch, I think we'd really be laughing and really putting teams away.
Yeah, the pitch is a shocker at the moment. Like, you know, call it for what it is. Everyone can see it. Everyone has kind of mentioned it. The pitch is all over the shop. Now, as far as I'm aware, it's kind of out of our hands a bit at the moment, just with, you know, the council. And there's a lot of back and forward there that has to be done. But it's definitely not helping us. And Ben, I reckon playing that Galway team on a half-decent surface, game probably looks an awful lot different.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's something the manager has touched on a few times in his post-match. And I think it's actually a scary sight to even think about. You keep saying, you know, you haven't seen the best of us. You haven't seen the best of us because you haven't seen how good we are with the ball. I'm like, if we're getting these results and it's not at our best, what's going to happen when we're at our best? Like a decent surface, nice tidy game where you can complete a few passes with that pace up front. Electric. Absolutely electric. And I think, look, it's something I'm looking forward to. Maybe the summertime will be kinder to the grounds and, you know, you might get a better surfaces. But I think I'd be very excited for what's to come for this team.
I don't think we've ever won Friday and Monday. I stand to be corrected on that under Duffer. But again, seems like we're harping on a bit. But the squad, the depth, the roundness to the squad have been able to make the changes we did. Like, what was it? Cam, John Martin, Evan Caffrey came into the starting 11 and did not weaken that 11 in the slightest.
Yeah, I didn't think they looked out of place at all. I think especially Cam Edwards at left back, I really liked the look of him on last night. Yeah, and I think I said about Evan Caffrey a couple of weeks ago coming on against Waterford, I thought he was a bit of a game changer that night. The squad's just littered with quality, and they're very young as well, a lot of them. So, you know, look, you'd hope to be keeping them around, wouldn't you? And, you know, obviously, if the leagues in England come knocking, you would probably, you know, expect them to move. But for us, it's just, it'd be nice to keep them around. And, like, this will stand to us come the end of the season, whether, you know, we're up fighting for a title or we're, you know, in the later stages of a cup or who knows in the Europa Conference League, for all we know. But, yeah, the squad's looking really great. And the three lads came in, done really well. And I think that's all Duffer will ask for.
Like the unused subs, Ben, on last night, Monday, obviously Lorcan Healy was the sub goalkeeper. Matty Smith, Jad Kiki, Keith Ward, Lewis Temple. No game time for any of them. Like, it's an embarrassment of riches, I think, would be a little bit dramatic, but...
No, I'd be inclined to agree. Like, I think a lot of them would walk into most dress rooms in the country and be one of the first names on a team sheet. Like, Matty Smith just oozes quality. Maybe it was a tactical thing, give him a bit of a rest, but, like, they're unbelievable players, I think. To make those changes, I just, as you've said, and not weaken the side is, I think it stands to the team. But I think one of the unsung heroes, I don't think Cam is getting the plaudits he deserves because he's filling in wherever he needs. So whether that's the left center back in a back three, he's left full last night. He's just, he looked bigger. He's looked faster. He's just looked a more mature, more complete player, I think, over the course of the few games. And look, maybe he's come in a bit earlier than expected with the injury to Shane Griffin, and maybe he's getting a bit more minutes than he would have, but I think he's looked really, really strong.
He has been brilliant. One player people will probably be a bit concerned about was Shane Farrell. He seemed okay coming out of the dressing room after the game. He didn't seem overly down or anything like that, so that's probably a good sign. What I did enjoy was he was walking off with his arm kind of tied up, obviously as a precaution in the end, and looked a bit downbeat coming off the pitch. And Melro Martins, who's our strength conditioning coach, who was just didn't care about the injury. He just really, really wanted to get the GPS tracker out of the back of his jersey, and he was mauling him. Shane was coming off that sore shoulder. Melro was just all over him. Here, give me that GPS, you. Doesn't matter if you're injured or not. So Melro, those little fine details, didn't want Shane jogging up the stairs or anything, robbing any more meters on him. Look, to a player again last night, you can't really pick anyone out that's not played well. Everyone's kind of been at least a 6-7 out of 10. One player that came in for an awful lot of praise down in Sligo, deservedly so, didn't quite get as much of the praise last night because most of that was saved for Gav Malloy and Paddy Barrett. But Sean Gannon has been exceptional since he signed here. He's just been incredible.
Yeah, like, dude, I don't know if it's maybe because we are on his side in Sligo, but just the value he offers to the team is immense. Just his leadership quality, his communication. I think set pieces was a massive weakness, and I think everyone could see it was a weakness for us. He's just been so good with the coverage, with the communication. Like, I used to think anytime we concede a corner or, you know, we concede a free kick where they could cross it into the box, I'd say, well, there we are. That's us 1-0 down. But I think he's been absolutely incredible. So consistent. Like, he's been so, so good. And not just defensively. Like, on that underlap or the overlap when he gets forward and he puts balls into the box, like, he's been so good.
And that assist in Sligo as well went really under the radar. That's a really, really difficult volley to try and control. Like, the amount of times you'd see somebody hash at that and it goes 60 yards over the bar and they miss it altogether. Technically, he's just been brilliant. And like that, the versatility we talked about where we're changing from a back four to a back three to like a flat five if we need to. He can do all of that, which is huge. That's been a massive thing for me, that there's so much kind of flexibility in all those defenders we have that we can change from a back four to a back five or to a back three so seamlessly that you're not having to uproot everybody. Like, Cam can play left full, he can play left side at centre back. Gano can do the same on the other side. Gav Malloy can play anywhere across there. Griff could play anywhere across there. Paddy Barrett could play anywhere across there. It's just, like I mentioned, I think it was the season preview, that like all we're kind of missing is time in terms of being able to mount something serious. I think I'd go one further, and I genuinely think we could push somebody close this year just with the way we'd started. Look, we're top after four games. It's a bit dramatic to jump the gun. Like, we've played supposedly the best team in the country, and I mean, we're well worth the win. and we just look so, so hard to break down. I'm all aboard the Reds 2024 title charge. Going to throw it out there now.
Absolutely. Well, I think we were on the European charge, Steve, weren't we, when we previewed
we were.
Season last season. I remember I sent you the message.
Yeah, I
was like, we hardly predicted that. Now, look, we didn't. We're not responsible for Shelburne getting Europe. I'm not taking responsibility for that. But why not? Like, I mean, I think the only thing that I'd be cautious of is Shamrock Rovers typically do start kind of slow and then get into the game and or get into the season, should I say. So that would be my only fear thus far. But purely based on ourselves, we've been exceptional. There's no reason why we definitely can't be up there in foreign, you know. And especially with players come back like Sean Boyd, what he's played, 11 minutes this season. He's one goal in already, and you'd expect him to have a bit of an impact. And then the likes of Griff coming back, like, just, it's looking good. It's looking good at the minute.
We had somebody on to say that Gav Malloy is the Kevin De Bruyne of the League of Ireland. You can't just pick out a random red-headed player and have the gall to compare them to the great Gav Malloy.
I think the sentiment is right there.
Kevin De Bruyne dreams of Gav Malloy, let me tell you.
Unlace his boots.
In all seriousness, Gav Malloy is just... I'm too kind of... I don't really remember Wezzo playing for Shells. Like, I was obviously at the games and stuff, and I remember glimpses of it, but not, you know, I don't have vivid memories of it. Jack Moyle was brilliant and has obviously gone on to England. But I would not be surprised to see Gav Malloy playing in the top two leagues in England soon. And I hate to say that because I'd hate to lose him, but he just looks so comfortable. He never looks like he's panicked, or he just never looks out of sorts. Even when he does, I think he had a dodgy touch there last night owing to the terrible pitch. And he caught up with, can't remember the lad's name for Galway, but he was a bullet. He was so quick. Gav Malloy just in like five or six strides. Yeah, here, I'll take that back off you. And then spreads a little pass out to the left. He had a last ditch tackle down at the Ballybuck end of the ground. He's just... That he could be the best defender I've ever seen playing for the Reds.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a bold shout, I know, but he amazes me.
He just does a lot of things very well, I think. Sorry, Adam, to cut across you, but I just think he's so consistent. And, like, again, as you said, that tackle where it looks like he was beaten and they could get a shot off, and he just scoops his leg around and just pokes the ball away, and you're like, how? I'd say most attackers are like, how? He's just, he oozes quality, leadership, maturity in his game. Like, even when it looks like something could go wrong, he's just so calm and composed on the ball. And he brings, I think, a similar presence to what Lukey did bring. When there'd be times where if Lukey got injured, it'd be like, oh God, we're in trouble here. But I think he's that's like similar of a personality to where, like, he just has that quality about him. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that he'll be playing in the top two leagues in England. I think that's absolutely within reach for him. He's unbelievable.
I think his ceiling's so high. Sorry, Steve. I don't want to say he's best defender to have played for us, but I can see why you're saying that, if that makes sense. Like, I do think his ceiling is so, so high. And what you were saying there about the attacker for Galway, I think it was Lombota, is that his name? I think he done it to him twice where it looked like he was getting away from him, and he caught him up twice, I think, in the game. And yeah, look, I don't want this to be an echo chamber, but he's just quality, isn't he? That's... what a player.
So it's time now for somebody to say something negative. Come on. It's too chirpy. It's too happy. This is not right.
Dude, we keep winning games. What do you expect us to do?
Yeah, true. Yeah, fair.
In all fairness as well, I think we've been somewhat miserable talking about throwing people out in the rain and that the pitch has been terrible.
Ah, leave them at it. God's sake. All this. Let them in. Get them on a long journey home. shove it. Honest to God.
God. No, you're right.
If you cannot stand for an hour and a half in the rain holding an umbrella, you shouldn't be going to a football match, in my opinion. Stay at home. Put your slippers on. Stick the telly on. Just don't go.
Dude, tell us how you really feel. Don't be mincing your words here.
No. In the wise words of another regular guest in this podcast, Nice FC, and it bothers me because everyone thinks we're a big load of bastards anyway, so why not just play up to it? Go full Ollie Byrne on it. Just play up to it. That's what I say. We had a message in again. People, please sign off on your messages. Let us know who you are so that we can, you know, give you a little shout out. Be nice. Stephen was on to say what was the story with when Shane Farrell went off injured, why nobody came on to replace him. As far as I'm aware, you can only have, I think it's 3 stoppages to make changes. So halftime isn't included as one, but you can only stop the game 3 times to make subs. And we'd obviously already done that. So that's why we were left with just the 10. I actually forgot we only had 10. We were that kind of calm defending. Somebody else was on saying, haven't watched them for a full season and another brilliant start this year. What's the contract situation with Conor Cairns? I can't help but think it's only a matter of time before English clubs are looking at him. Ben, Cairns going to England, what are we saying?
The best keeper in the country. I don't see why it's not a possibility.
Hey, careful saying stuff like that. Careful now. Because the League of Ireland Twitter community will jump all over you and say you're a deranged lunatic who's miserable and hasn't got a clue what he's doing and is going to leave by 3 months into the season. Careful with that now.
But, like, look, I don't want to echo other people, and the manager said it before. He's by far and away is the best keeper in the country. I don't think there's a keeper that, like, could come close. I think his distribution is very solid. His shot stopping ability is incredible. His leadership, he's vocal. Here, if we can keep him, we're blessed, because he absolutely is the best for me. I'm open to correction, but I will argue. This is my hill that I'm dying on here.
That's not, you're not dying on any hill. He is the best goalkeeper in the league. Who's better than him? Name your keeper that's better than him. Maybe Ed McGuinty. Look, who else is there? I don't know the ball's keeper, having a clue, couldn't tell you what he's like. There isn't anybody else. Leon Paul's? No, absolutely not. I would not swap Conor Cairns with any keeper in the country. That's the way I would look at it.
The Brazilian lad gone to Pats as well, I think.
He's a shocker.
He's had a nightmare. Notorious for saving a shot from Mo Salah in training, I think is the tagline I've heard from a few people. But again, he's not up to much. I think maybe the only name would probably be Ryan Maher. He's still with Derry, isn't he? So that'd probably be the only name. But I think Conor Cairns is better than that now.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. We got plenty of texts in. Not many voice notes this week, unfortunately. The Friday Monday kind of causes chaos with the week within the club, and the training schedules are off and all the schedules are off basically. So we will hear from Rachel Graham in a little while. She's going to talk to us about the Women's Premier Division side's opener against Sligo on Saturday. I want to rattle through another couple of messages while we're here. A few people popped in on Instagram. Harry DSO wants to know, do you think Shells have an actual shot winning the league after the start we've made? Yay or nay, gents?
Yes, absolutely. Why not? Take it game by game, but if we do that and our results are reflecting what we're doing from the start, there's no reason we can't.
Yeah, definitely in there. 100%.
A. O'Leary 19 asked, well, it's not really a question, more of a statement. Gav Malloy has a serious case for being the best player in the league. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gav Malloy is the best defender in the league for me.
Yeah. I don't think there's many better than him. Maybe Pico Lopez would be the show people say, but other than that, no.
People would be wrong, Adam.
So hold on, Ben. You're telling me the notorious League of Ireland Twitter community is wrong? Since when?
I don't know if I'd ever go against them. Put the pitchforks away. Calm down.
Oh, God.
The great Sean O'Kelly asked, what formation do you think suits us best? We've had a few this season already, but it's the 4-3-3 for me. This is an interesting one because there's so many like slight changes during games that like it's not, they're not always obvious changes. There was obviously an obvious one in Sligo. We changed that kind of back five at half time, and that just gave us all kind of impetus and a bit of control in the game. But what's your ideal shape, Ben?
Yeah, I think the 4-3-3 is the 4-3-3 Reds. 4-4-2 the other day, it looked like. I think you love that one, Doody.
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Shelburne will be playing a 4-4-2. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, look, the back four is very solid, especially the last day. The two lads, when they're together as part of back two, Paddy Barrett and Gavin Malloy, have looked unbelievable. Gano on the right, Tariq or Cam when he filled in. It's a very solid, cohesive unit. I think it's looked really strong. We're saying a lot of positive stuff because we don't have a lot of negatives thus far, so it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Very strange. Ads, what's your ideal formation?
Yeah, I'd go with 4-3-3 as well. I don't think I actually, to be honest with you, I really like the look of the team last night. I wouldn't be too against that team starting again. Maybe I think Mike Smith or Sean Boyd maybe up front instead of Martin, but John Martin did very well, so I'd still be going with 4-2-3 to answer your question.
We got a message on Instagram from a certain Jack Moylan.
Oh, well.
Again, well, it is a question. Technically, Jack's grammar leaves a bit to be desired, but...
Oh, God.
Sorry, you, Jack. He asked, how good is Will Jarvis?
Very good. Very good.
Just come home, Jack. Stop all that messing. Don't mind all that English football stuff. You don't need any of that.
I suppose my question to Jack Moyne would be, how good would Will Jarvis be if Jack Moyne was still playing with Shells?
Oh, I don't think Jack Moyne would be playing.
Oh, really shooting on the head.
Sorry, Jay, Jack.
Put that out, see.
Sorry, Jack. I'm only messing. Ah, we squeezed them both in there somewhere. Hold on, then you're leaving out Liam Burt. Don't think so. Oh, we've gone way off track here. Look, there's obviously a massive game coming up Friday. This has kind of started to become the game, I think, for most people at this stage. They're a bit all over the shop. They had a really bad result on Monday, obviously, with no travelling support. 2-1 defeat, draw it. How do we see this Bowls game panning out?
I think they'll have a lot of bite in it. Like it's all on them, really. I think all the pressure's on them because of the start they've had and obviously their results on Monday. I think we just go out and play our own game. I can't see them getting near us, to be honest.
Lads?
Yeah, look, I think it's a tough one, Steve. Honestly, I know we've every right to be confident going into the game, but these games are never as easy as you assumed, you know. And look, I could be proven completely wrong come Friday evening. We could be talking about winning 2 or 3 nil, but I think it's gonna be tough. It's not gonna be as easy as what a lot of people think. But if you're based off recent performances, and I think the Rovers' performance particularly, we've every right to be confident, you know. But I do think it's gonna be a difficult game, nonetheless.
I tend to agree with you. It's kind of a bit of a cliche thing, but we'll be looking at form or anything like that too much. I think my brother texted me earlier on. I think it's 2013, the last time we bet Bowls in Daily Mount. Again, I stand to be corrected, but God, I'd love to. I mean, the dream is a win and John O'Sullivan scores. I think that would just be magical. That, I mean, that's the stuff of dreams, that. But at the same time, you don't want to make too much fuss of the game, if that makes sense as well. Like, it is just another game. It's you're not going to qualify or not qualify for Europe winning a game like this. But at the same time, these are the kind of games that at the end of the season, like, I'm convinced Sligo away, Galway at home, they would have been games we'd look back on a season or two ago and go, ah, fuck, if we had to just held on for that win, where we would have been. I have a feeling Friday's going to be one of those ones. Like, you can lay down a marker for the season on Friday, I think. If you go there, beat balls in Daly Mount, you can say, right, we've beaten them in our own patch as well. Like, what's going to get in the way now? You know, it's as tough a game as you're probably going to get all season. So,
it's a statement, isn't it? Like,
I think so.
Like, I think if you go out there and get the result, it's like, right, the old Goldberg, who's next?
There's a lot of wrestler references going on, lads. What is going on?
Hang on, when you have an aggressive bald man playing centre midfield, Adam, the wrestling narrative writes itself.
Oh, for I'm afraid. God. Right. to answer Ben's point, I do agree with him. I do think you lay down a mark on Friday, then it's all guns blazing, isn't it? To see where you go from there.
Yeah, it's been a lot of kind of meltdown on Twitter this evening. I had to go on, try and get a couple of tickets myself, and like, it's a nail-biting-nail experience. There's probably two sides to this. The first side to it is the process of getting a ticket for the Bowls game, like the way the website and stuff worked, that's a Bowls issue. It's fairly shambolic, to be totally honest. Like, having to go in one barcode at a time. So, like, if you have a kid going with you, whatever, you need to go back in a second time to get a kid's ticket. And it was just not very organized. But I understand people's frustrations at not being able to get a ticket. Look, that's the allocation you're given. I do feel it's at a stage where I'd love us to be able to do something in terms of making sure that those lads, and look, we could point them out now. We could probably name them if we wanted to. That kind of core group of people that are at every single home and away game. They'll be in Derry. They were in Waterford. They were in Sligo. They'll be everywhere. If we get drawn against Letterkenny away in the cup, they'll be there. I would love there to be a system that they can kind of guarantee themselves a ticket. How that happens, I don't know. I'm just a monkey that comes on here and presses record and talks about stuff. But I would love to have some kind of system sorted. But what I would say is, if you have a spare ticket, try and make sure it gets into the right hands. That's probably what I would say. So that brings us on to talking about huge games. The 1895 group chat was a quiet place this week. Rachel Graham was the only person that was able to pop in and give us a little update. So we'll start there. It's a huge game on Saturday for the Women's Premier Division side. It's 2 o'clock kickoff at home to Sligo. And Rachel Graham dropped us a little message to give us an update.
Hi everyone, it's Rachel Graham here from the women's side. Just giving you an update on how our pre-season has gone. We've obviously under new management this year, which has gone really well so far. We've put a great squad together. We've seen some young faces come up from the academy. We've also seen the return of some old faces into the club, and everybody settled in really well. There's a really good feeling around the group, and like most pre-seasons, we've had some good, some bad and some ugly performances, but we're just off the back of a 3-1 victory over Crusaders, so that leads us nicely now into our opening league game, which is this Saturday against Sligo Rovers in Talca Park at 2 o'clock. If you're around and you're able to come, please do. The support means so much to us. It really does go a long way. And we absolutely love playing for Shelbourne. We love playing in Talca Park. So if you're around, please do come. We're obviously trying to bring the trophy back to Talca this year, and every little bit helps with us. So please do come out and support us as best you can. And look, we hope to see you in Talca Park on Saturday and many more Saturdays to come. And hopefully it's a great day this Saturday. We get a great win, and hopefully it's a great year for the Reds.
Gents, Rachel Graham there. Sounds excited for Saturday. Are we all excited?
Yeah, I'm buzzing for, you know, the season to start. I think she showed ambition there straight away. I don't want to say you show your hand, but look, bringing trophies back to Talca for game one, 4 balls been kicked. think it shows the mentality of the squad, the senior players, and the new management. I'm all for that. Absolutely. Incredible. That's get you out of your seat stuff. That's get you down to the stadium kind of stuff. Because it's just, you know they're going to be up for it. You know it's going to be exciting. So, yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, well, didn't Maggie Pearce refer to it as a, was it a redemption season, she called it last year, or last week, or the week before? Like, there's, I like Adam that the women's side on their own wearing in pre-season, it's been very quiet. You know, it's just been, they've gone about their business, no bells and whistles, no, look at this fantastic result we got in a friendly, and look at this, that, and the other. It's just under the radar, hard work going on behind the scenes, and, you know, let the girls loose in Talca on Saturday and lay down an early marker.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of intrigue around the state, to be honest. I think, like, with Owen Rearn, there's just an element of the unknown there. I know he was a former footballer, wasn't he? He was with Bowes once upon a time. So, you know, he's a good footballer himself. And I think there's a lot of intrigue going into what this team's actually going to be. There's the experience. There's a few players coming back. There's the youth. Like, it has all the makings for a really good season for Shells. Now, again, you don't want to hinge on the arrogant side and say, look, we're going to, you know, win the league and the cup. But if any side was to do it, it would be this Shells side. And look, I've been an advocate since I've gotten involved in this side of the game. Get down and support the team if you can. They're a fabulous team. And look at Rachel said herself, it does go a long way. And yeah, I'm buzzing for the season to get going.
And the club announced a new women's season ticket. So it's €80 for an adult season ticket. Basically guarantees you entry to all the women's home league fixtures. It's a saving of in around 20%. So you'll save 20% of your money if you do invest in a women's season ticket. Early doors. It takes that hassle out of, you know, having to go to the hatch, buy tickets that way. If you want to go to the hatch and give the club your cash, absolutely do. The prices this season for the Women's Premier Division games, it's €10 for an adult, €7 for concession students and seniors, and kids under 12 still go free. If you're looking to bring a big group of schoolboys, schoolgirl kids down to a game, get in touch with the club through the social media outlets. They'll point you in the right direction. We can definitely cater for groups in Talca, but there's something about Saturday in Talca. Don't know what it is. It hits a little bit differently, I find. And this season in particular, I don't know what it is. The balance or something seems right around the team. With that experience and with the youth thrown in there, Rachel mentioned it, a lot of new faces up through the academy. And Owen Wearing is seeing those players with his own two eyes, you know, having worked in the women's academy already. So he knows what those players are about. He's young, he's enthusiastic. I spoke before, it's not a slant on Noel King, but sometimes just new, fresh ideas can just go a long, long way, Ben. And like, hopefully brings us all the way to a double. That's not out of the realms of reality, I wouldn't say.
No, I don't think so. I think the ambition is there in the squad, and it's very clear to see. Why not? Just as I keep saying, go for it. See what happens. But like, great mix of youth. A lot of good players coming through, especially last season. I think that's one thing I think Noel maybe didn't get a lot of credit for. He wasn't afraid to look to the academy. He wasn't afraid to look to youth and give them a chance in the team. And as you said, only in seeing this, he's seen the players that have come through. So I think there will be a bit more of that. And look, I think the squad will be really competitive. I think that's by the sounds of it, they're already kind of chomping at the bit to get going. And as you said, it's just a different atmosphere, especially in the summer. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if it's a nice weather, but it's really good to just get down on a Saturday, you know, get in there, sun is shining, good game of football. It just hits different, I think.
It does. And if you speak to any of the players, Rachel mentioned it there, Pearl mentions it at any chance she gets, they appreciate the support so much. And that's not to say that other people representing the club don't, but they're such a brilliant representation of the club. I'm sure it will all come out eventually, the impact that they had around the stadium and the South Talca Park campaign. It wouldn't have got the legs it got if it wasn't for the kind of senior players in that women's team. So they deserve every bit of respect. They deserve your support. Get out on Saturday. As I mentioned, it's a 2 o'clock kickoff at home to Sligo. It's a real chance to lay a marker down. It's something last year, like it was such a tight league last year. I was only looking back through the kind of results. Like we didn't really slip up as such in many games. Like there was a loss at home to Galway, a loss away to Wexford. But like the other games are dropping points in, you know, they're top of the table clashes. Like, you know, they're against Rovers, Piemont, kind of the games you'd expect to be tough. So the margins are just so, so fine. But I think, ads, there could be a worry that you can take the eye off the ball a little bit with those, not to be disrespectful to Sligo. I'm sure the girls won't be disrespectful to Sligo in their approach to the game, but you can't just expect that it'll all happen on Saturday playing the likes of a Sligo.
Yeah, and I think early on in the season as well is usually when the likes of the bigger teams slip up, and you know, it's an opportunity for Sligo for themselves to lay a marker down. I think they'll see it like that, and I think that probably puts all the pressure on Shells and Omer and his side. But look, I think this side is primed, and I think they're really up for it. They're really looking forward to the season start. And you look at, without being disrespectful, you probably would expect Shells to win. But just touch on last season. I just think last season was a bit of an anomaly, Steve, just with, you know, the World Cup and obviously Shells going away to Europe and everything that it entailed. I think the season probably got away from us a bit to an extent. And I think this season with the likes of Jess Gargan coming back, I think that's massive. I think we're in for a good season for Shells and Owen Marin in particular.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Gents, we're nearly there. There's been so much in this. I'm mixing up my matches. I'm mixing up my teams. I don't know where I am. Didn't write anything down this week. So,
where's your four notebooks?
Hang on a second. I ended up in a deep, deep Shelbourne chasm in the winter this year. It was all consuming. I was a mess. I was looking at everything. I was looking at seedings for European draws. I was gone completely mental. So I've tried to tone it down a little bit. It's nice to have football to talk about. But it is time, because to be totally honest, I forgot about them last week. The Richie Rankins. Ben, Adam, I didn't consult with you on this. I hope you have something for me, because only for Adam reminded me before we start recording, I would have forgotten them again. So who wants to chime in? For anyone that doesn't know, the Richie Rankins is a direct line down the middle of the universe. You are either on the Richie Baker side of that line, where you are a sound fella. You are up for a laugh. You like a giggle. A good crack, decent skin. Or you're on the other side of that, and you are Richie Winters. You like the cost football teams, cup finals. You like the shattered dreams. Steal sweets from babies, so on, so on. Ads, what have you got for me? Do you want to give me a Richie Baker or a Richie Winter?
I think we keep a positive, won't we, and end with the misery, will we?
Yeah, of course.
I'm gonna pick the low hanging fruit and give my Richie Baker to John Martin for getting the goal last night and coming in and just overall having a really good performance. And I think when people seen the lineup, they probably would have went, what's going on here? But I think Martin came in and he done really well. And he spoke well to you afterwards as well, so he looked like a genuine lad. So it's always good to have players like that involved in the squad.
Yeah, he was just dying to get at that chicken wrap. the first thing he did when I asked him to do the interview, because they all get fed after the game, and they all usually all come out of the tunnel holding their food. And I said to him, John, sorry, is there any chance I can grab you for an interview? The first thing he did was just look down at his wrap. And I was like, oh, we've a bit of time. The manager has to be interviewed for us. Eat your wrap. And then, fairness to him, he jumped in. He said, no, it's grand. I'll go now. And as I say, Reggie stepped in and was chief wrap holder for the evening. So, fair play to him. Ben, have you got any positive input here?
Yeah,
or we got to go straight to the Winters?
I was going to say my Richie Baker would be John Martin's rap, but I was giving it something else or someone else. I think I might give it something else. One thing that I think people have picked up on, the Talca Park PA system.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
the atmosphere creates. Like, you'd walk down Richmond Road and you know there's a football match going on now. It's crazy. Yeah,
the man's.
So,
what's your
deserves a little bit of praise. I think it's, look, it's a feeling out process. You know, the music is changing. We're adding, I'm sure there's stuff being added and taken away from the playlist. But yeah, I think it's a massive improvement on the match day experience.
What's your favorite song that's been on the playlist, Ben?
Caravan of Love.
Oh, I don't know. What did I say to Smith the other night? Last night, we're in the tunnel and Dua Lipa started playing. I was like, oh, I'm a big fan of a bit of Dua Lipa now.
Ah, youthful exuberance.
What about Black Eyed Peas, Meet Me Halfway? I couldn't believe that at halftime the other day. What a chill. I'm being deadly serious when I say that as well. It's a great tune.
Oh, Lord. Lord above. We are now giving Richie Rankins out to inanimate objects.
Yes, we are.
The inanimate carbon rod. Right. It's time for the real nitty-gritty of this podcast. The Richie Winters. So I do have a Richie Baker to give out. It's actually Mauro Martins, our strength and conditioning coach. These both lead into each other. So.
Oh, I know exactly what this is about.
So basically, right, no, hang on. I'll go with Richie Winters first, because probably explains the story a bit better. There was a fella born in the Galway, and I'm pretty sure it was this guy, because I seen him in the tunnel. He was bibbed up. He had a pair of slacks and a pair of boots on him. So that was probably problem number one. You could give him the old Richie Winters just for that. But he was basically holding the towel for that Ed McCarthy long throw-in. And Richie Baker for the evening obviously tweaked it and could see what was happening. And basically went over and told him that he couldn't stand there. He was standing like kind of on the steps there at the side of the riverside. So Mero went over, no, you can't stand there, you can't stand there. And obviously the security kind of were looking to see what was going on. So he basically got removed from where he was standing, was made to go and find a seat. Because if he was in the stand, you know, he had to be in a seat. So he went over his tail between his legs, escorted by guards and stewards and all sorts of stuff. And he was not a bit happy. And Ben, what were the famous words Mero uttered when he walked back over?
I love the antics, was it?
Yeah, bit of antics over there, he said. After starting, so my Richie Baker is Mero for standing up for the integrity of the stadium and adhering to stadium regulations, as everyone should, and just being a bit of a shithouse. So fair play to Mero. And my Richie Winters is the Galway towel holder for causing such a ruckus. It was great stuff. It was really, really good stuff. Who else has a Richie Winters?
Go on, Ben.
I'd probably give it to still images or slow down videos. People see highlights of keepers being felled and they think it should be a goal given. I don't know. If you slow things down, anything can look bad.
Yeah, well, the game's not played in slow motion. That's always my argument to these things. It's like, it's played at many miles an hour.
Go full MLS, VLR, VAR, and they're not allowed to watch anything. The refs aren't in slow motion. They don't get given slow motion replays. It's only full speed replays. Anyway, ads, take us out. You're Richie Winters for this week.
Richie Winter for this week, and I think it's a podcast first, so I do apologise if it's not, but I'm giving my Richie Winter to one Ben Cleary for his dreadful prediction of Waterford being relegated because they're absolutely flying at the minute. sorry, Ben. Sorry, I do apologise, but it had to be done.
I think that's a bit too harsh. I don't go around robbing sweets off kids. Thanks, Ad.
Well, come here. They're doing well, aren't they? Surprisingly.
I see that bag of snacks in your bag, Ben.
They were against stadium regulation. That's all.
Well, yeah, Waterford are they are flying. They have the most miserable manager in the league. It's funny that like Duffer gets all the abuse for being so, everyone calls him miserable all the time and says he's so angry. Keith Long's the angriest man I've ever come across. So I think we're there. 47. No, there's more than that because we had a technical issue about 10 minutes into the podcast. Tell you one thing, for three lads who hadn't done much research this week, you've done all right there.
Yeah, I'd like to say no research was done, to be honest. I'm not going to lie.
I did loads of research. I spent my whole day researching. Thank you very much.
That's because you're supposed to be leading, teaching.
I was working hard today, dude. You stop.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
You didn't do your research for the preview for the season. Anyways, Ben, if your prediction about Watford's true.
Jesus, Ben. Defend yourself.
Here, I stand by what I said.
Now that is a hill to die on. Right, this has gone to hell in the handbasket. Gents, thank you very much for giving up your evening.
Cheers, Steve.
Thank you, Rudy.
And we will see you all. Well, we'll see some of you on Friday. Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.